Digging for campaign dirt with Russian lawyer.
The meeting should never have happened.
Dire prognosis for GOP health bill.
It's probably going to be dead.
New York's summer of hell.
I'm kind of like holding my breath in anticipation of it.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. One of President Trump's sons acknowledges he and others held a meeting 5 months before the election. It's one that's raised new questions about the Trump campaign's ties to Russia. We're live at the White House with CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
The meeting took place at Trump Tower in June of last year. Donald Trump Jr. was there, along with campaign chairman Paul Manafort and Jared Kushner. In an extraordinary statement that Donald Trump Jr. issued yesterday, he acknowledged he took the meeting because a Russian lawyer said she might have information helpful to the campaign. He says Natalia Veselnitskaya spoke vaguely about Russians who were funding the DNC and the Clinton campaign before she turned to a federal law that imposes sanctions on Russians. Donald Trump Jr. says he quickly concluded the lawyer had no meaningful information and that the session was a waste of time. Political analyst Greg Valliere.
The problem for the Trump administration is that it involves people from his inner circle, people like his son. If they were having a meeting with a top Russian attorney who had allegedly information about Hillary Clinton, that does raise the issue of collusion.
The Kremlin said today it was unaware of the meeting. And in an interview yesterday, Mr. Trump's chief of staff called this story a big nothing burger. Steve?
A Russian official says he doesn't think a joint relationship on cybersecurity between Moscow and Washington will happen anytime soon. CBS's Juliana Goldman says it's not clear whether the White House is ready to move past election issues.
After the president touted the possible partnership on Twitter, Mr. Trump said there was a discussion, but that doesn't mean he thinks it can happen. Senator Marco Rubio tweeted that partnering with Putin on a cybersecurity unit is akin to partnering with Assad on a chemical weapons unit.
Well, back to Capitol Hill after a week off for members of Congress and Senate Republicans are no closer to agreement on a health care bill to replace Obamacare.
If you shut out the adversary or the opposite party, you're going to end up the same way Obamacare did when they rammed it through with 60 votes. Only guess what? We don't have 60 votes.
Arizona's John McCain and Ted Cruz of Texas were on CBS's Face the Nation.
In my view, failure is not an option. This has been a central promise Republicans have made to the voters for 7 years.
Overseas in Britain, the health of a child is in question for a family who wants experimental treatment for their terminal ill son. CBS's Vicky Barker joins us live from London.
A British judge who ordered 11-month-old Charlie Gard taken off life support is now assessing new evidence that he may respond to experimental treatment for his incurable genetic brain condition.
We've got new evidence now, so I hope that the judge changes his mind.
Charlie's mother, Connie Yates, says her son's chance of survival was initially put at zero.
That chance has been put up to 10%, and I think that's a good enough chance to take on an oral medication with no major side effects.
The drug is not available in Britain, but both U.S. and Italian doctors have offered to treat the boy. Steve?
Major wildfires in California have forced 8,000 people out of their homes. CBS's Maria Villarreal is in Santa Barbara.
At least 20 structures have been lost on both sides of the area's major highway, which is expected to remain closed for days.
The fire's burning in an area that hasn't burned in probably 60 years.
Some 200 people were quickly evacuated from campgrounds in the fire's path, in addition to 80 children who were trapped in a camp barracks Saturday.
In New York City, the heat is on. People trying to get to work this morning. An extensive Penn Station rehab project's getting underway, and it means reduced service and schedule changes for passengers on Amtrak and commuter rail lines.
I don't really think there's ever really a convenient time for them to be shutting down the train station or at least making all these changes.
Work will last right through next month. New York's governor has called it a summer of hell. In Iraq's second-largest city, military forces are dealing with the last pockets of ISIS resistance a day after the country's prime minister visited Mosul to congratulate commanders. CBS's Holly Williams.
They're jubilant in Mosul. They've driven the extremists out. But it's come at a price. After 9 months of fighting, the city lies in ruins. As Iraqi forces cleared the last neighborhoods under the extremist control, trapped civilians had to run the gauntlet of ISIS snipers and suicide bombers.
Iran is one of the countries on President Trump's travel ban, and CBS's Steve Futterman tells us it's had an impact there on man's best friend.
It was on February 1st that Isabella St. James first heard about the young abused pug in Tehran.
No one wanted to take care of him. They thought he was a burden.
Just 5 days earlier, though,
we want to ensure that we are not admitting into our country the very threat.
President Trump signed his initial travel ban.
Couldn't have happened at a more intimidating time, and I definitely had my doubts.
Then the travel ban was put on hold, but there were other complications. Finally, on Memorial Day, just weeks before portions of the ban were reinstated, it happened.
Fortunately, I had an Iranian lady who was able and willing to fly there for 4 hours and fly back and grab him.
Now the dog named Chance is in the U.S. getting his second chance.
This is Chancey. This is the little Iranian rescue.
This is the dog from Iran.
Yes, this is the dog from Iran.
Steve Futterman, CBS News. Los Angeles.
At a Colorado wilderness camp, this 19-year-old staffer was startled awake before dawn yesterday.
I woke up to a crunching sound and a lot of pain, and a bear had a hold of my head and was dragging me across the ground.
A black bear had firm hold of him. He fought back. He was able to free himself and was treated for minor injuries. At the restaurant, when the meal is over, the bill arrives. CBS's Deborah Rodriguez does the math.
When it comes to tipping, men, Republicans, Northeasterners, and credit or debit card users leave the most, an average 20% at restaurants.
Women, Democrats, Southerners, and folks who tip with cash are on the lower side at either 15 or 16%.
CreditCard.com senior analyst Matt Schultz with the results of the company's new report.
The most obvious corollary in all of this is income.
27% of hotel customers say they always tip their housekeepers. 31% never do.
Turn the other cheek, not the option picked by a man of the cloth who confronted another driver. Here's CBS's Jim Crisula.
Police outside West Palm Beach, Florida, have charged an Episcopal priest from North Carolina with road rage. 35-year-old William Adams allegedly pointed a gun at another vehicle on the Florida Turnpike. The reaction from some other Turnpike drivers?
You would think that being of the cloth, he'd have a better control.
Well, I think it's kind of weird because I wouldn't expect the priest to be the one to be the angry one.
Adams has been the rector of Calvary Episcopal Church in Fletcher, North Carolina, just south of Asheville since last September. He's a former Army chaplain. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Well, two people were hurt, but no one was gored in today's fourth running of the bulls in Pamplona, Spain. Five people, four of them Americans, have been gored since the San Fermín Festival began on Friday. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.